It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. A recent proposal by the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors would require menstrual products be freely available in the restrooms of two Milwaukee County buildings. If the proposal passes, it would be a success for the menstrual equity movement. We'll talk about what prompted the proposal, why there is a need for this action, and what the menstrual equity movement is. Have you heard of the menstrual equity movement? What are your thoughts? Should menstrual products be made freely available like other hygiene products? Why or why not? Are you a person who has had trouble getting access to menstrual products? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Marina Dmitrievich is serving on the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. Her recent proposal would require menstrual products be freely available in two Milwaukee County building restrooms. Welcome, Marina.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Jan Wilberg is the founder of the Time of the Month Club, an organization that collects menstrual products for homeless people in Milwaukee. She joins us from our Milwaukee studios. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
Marina, let's start with you. Why did you propose that the Courthouse and Human Services Center in Milwaukee County be required to provide menstrual products in the restrooms?
Well, those are our two most populated buildings. They're very busy. They see thousands of visitors every day, and that's part of being the largest county in the state of Wisconsin. Part of my reason was for us to have conversations like we're having right now, to talk about female menstruation. And the other part of it is that I do believe in menstrual equity, meaning that feminine hygiene products should be readily available to everyone, just as we provide paper towels, soap, and other things.
And Marina, is this an issue that's been brought up in other cities? Is this happening elsewhere?
Yes. So we're actually a little bit behind the curve. Sometimes that happens. But New York in 2016 made our hygiene products available in schools, shelters, as well as jail facilities. So it's been a national discussion. First Lady Obama has spoken about it, and I hope this raises extra concern.
Would having products available for purchase suffice, Marina?
No, I don't believe so. We don't make people of the other gender pay for paper towels or soap, unless you've seen that. I think it should be dealt with in the same way as any other product available in certainly public restrooms, and I hope businesses will follow.
Jan, talk to us about the menstrual equity movement. What does menstrual equity mean?
Well, fundamentally, menstrual equity is about gender equity. And if there are factors in a woman's life that keeps her from fully participating in civic and social life, like menstruation, then gender equity is not possible. So when we're talking about menstrual equity, we're really talking about removing a barrier to full participation in social, economic, civic life. And depending on who you are, this is a smaller or larger barrier. But for many people, it's a very big deal.
Give us some examples of the inequalities that we see currently surrounding periods.
Well, there are a couple of really good examples, but one that is very distressing is we know that there are teenage girls who don't go to school because they don't have menstrual supplies. That's a problem that could be easily solved by having free supplies at school. And the city of New York has figured that out, that if you want to deal with attendance issues, this is one really good strategy to make sure that girls are not staying home because of their periods. I work with women who are homeless, and there have been many cases that people tell me, you know, I can't go to that job interview, or I can't do this or that because I don't have protection. So it's a barrier. It holds women back. And I think when we're talking about menstrual equity, we're talking about the removal of barriers so people really have an opportunity to have an equal shot at a decent life.
And Jen, menstrual products are sometimes taxed as a luxury item, whereas things like groceries or medicine are taxed as necessities. This has been nicknamed the tampon tax. How does that factor into menstrual equity?
Well, I think it's important because it's very symbolic. I mean, there's financial consequences, obviously, to having to pay a tax on a product that really, you know, isn't warranted. But I also think that it's symptomatic of an attitude toward women and menstruation, and it sort of signifies the stigma and taboo. I mean, it's as if we're talking about providing free lipsticks to people. We're talking about providing something that is a basic hygiene item, and it's curious that it would be taxed. But you know, there are several states that have taken measures to remove that tax: Minnesota, New York, Illinois. So I think that gradually state legislatures are starting to get it, that it just doesn't make sense to tax a product that people need for basic hygiene.
Marina, should we be thinking about these products as a luxury?
No, absolutely not. Again, I have to remind everyone, we don't think about paper towels or soap or toilet paper that way. It's just a normal hygiene product that should be available to the maximum amount of people so we can go about our business. And again, that's, as Jan said perfectly, it becomes a gender issue or barrier. And part of government's work is to remove barriers so everyone has an equal opportunity to succeed.
So, Marina, what needs to happen in order to make your proposal a reality?
Well, we're just steps away. It was unanimously approved at the budget committee. Monday, the full county board will approve it, hopefully. And the county executive has already said publicly that he'll sign it. So there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and it's just the beginning. We started with the two buildings to kind of provide a pilot, but it is my goal to have it in as many buildings as possible. And I do want to take a serious look at our correctional facilities because there's a whole different type of kind of issue there with commodities and how people are treated. So we're on the way to something big, and we certainly have forced the conversation.
And how would the products be paid for?
We're going to use our normal, our normal tax levy that we pay for any services. It's the same way that we pay for the soap, the paper towels, and anything else, the toilet paper. So the same budget that comes out of and that we supply countywide, this would be included as a commodity, and that gets us a little bit closer to the equity that we're seeking.
So what do you say to men who say, well, why should I have to pay for this?
My first response is, I've been paying for your toilet paper and soap for a while. But seriously, I want to use it as a moment of learning and discussion. We want to welcome people into the discussion. Most men that I've talked to about it have said, wow, I never realized that menstruation could actually not be as timely as society somehow, you know, discusses it, that you could be unprepared. So a male is not necessarily unprepared with soap or toilet paper or those products, but a woman is somehow forced to buy the expensive tampons or pads and carry them around all the time because, again, menstruation it's a wonderful thing in the female body. It's very healthy, but it isn't always to the date or time. So we have to carry that stuff around. It'd be nice to not have to worry about it.
Marina, do you see this growing to include all public buildings in Milwaukee County?
That would certainly be wonderful. I've had an outpouring of support. I've even spoken to some private facilities. I would like it to just be a basic thing, so easy and normal that we're all used to it. And I think that would really help women thrive and succeed and not have to have another worry. I mean, we're already mothers and providers and sisters and hard workers. We're such an important part of our economy. And I think this also exemplifies why it's important to have women in elected leadership decision-making places, because I think that had I not brought this forward, I'm not sure that it would have made its way. So we do need to be at the table to make sure that we're discussing these important items.
And Jan, let me ask you, what's your take on providing menstrual products in public schools?
I think they're an absolute necessity. I think in most schools now, if a girl goes to the school nurse, she can probably get a tampon or pad. But that becomes sort of like a special, you know, she has to make a request. She has to, you know, it's not sort of like just an ordinary thing. And I think having those supplies right in the bathroom just makes everything less stigmatized and easier for her, so she can just go on about her day. I think it's a really fundamental thing, but you know, whether it's county buildings or public schools or private businesses, this is the beginning of really a shift in attitudes about not only about menstruation, but about women. And large public facilities, you know, half their customers typically are women. And if you start thinking about, is this good customer service to inconvenience women or to make their experience in your facility one that is equal to how men are treated? But I think someone had to be first, and I think Marina took this step and is bringing, you know, Milwaukee County government, a significant entity, right? Their example is going to help the public schools say, yeah, this really is the right thing to do, and the city of Milwaukee, and maybe we have the Milwaukee Brewers or the Bucks, and you know we start to change the attitude toward sort of women and menstruation, and it would be a terrific thing.
Marina Dmitrievich serves on the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. Her recent proposal would require menstrual products be freely available in two Milwaukee County building restrooms. Jan Wilberg is the founder of the Time of the Month Club, an organization that collects menstrual products for homeless people in Milwaukee. They stay with us as our discussion continues. Want to hear from you this morning. Have you heard of the menstrual equity movement? What are your thoughts? Should menstrual products be made freely available like other hygiene products? Why or why not? Are you a person who has had trouble getting access to menstrual products? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email address is ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about menstrual equity on this edition of the morning show. A recent proposal by the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors would require menstrual products be freely available in the restrooms of two Milwaukee County buildings. If the proposal passes, it would be a success for the menstrual equity movement. We're talking about what prompted the proposal, why there's a need for this action, and what the menstrual equity movement is. We'd like to hear from you. Have you heard of the menstrual equity movement, and what are your thoughts? Should menstrual products be made freely available like other hygiene products? Why or why not? Are you a person who's had trouble getting access to menstrual products? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Marina Dmitrievich serves on the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. Her recent proposal would require menstrual products be freely available in two Milwaukee County building restrooms. Jan Wilberg is the founder of the Time of the Month Club, an organization that collects menstrual products for homeless people in Milwaukee, and she joins us from our Milwaukee studios. Marina, let's talk about the taboos that still exist around menstruation. How does this impact access to products?
It's a big issue. Already in these past couple weeks, I've had some interesting conversations, whether it be with male colleagues or, and it wasn't just males, but it's been predominantly males, even some that were slightly older than me in age, and I think it was just an interesting conversation to have. And again, the biggest thing was I felt that there was a lack of understanding around menstruation, the timing, how one could be unprepared. A colleague on the county board during the hearing actually asked, well, how would we regulate this? Like, you know, would people just grab too many? And I'm like, well, that's an interesting question. I don't know that there's really a market on the street to sell these things, but it goes back to that kind of lack of understanding. So I think the more that we have conversations, and it's for many things that are women-specific, our needs, you know, whether it be breastfeeding, I've done some work on that. We need to keep talking about how women can fully participate and succeed in our society. So it still has been a bit of an awkward conversation, not for me because I'm, you know, living with it every day, but I'm really glad we're having the time to talk about it.
As a married man and the father of a daughter, I have made menstrual product deliveries to schools on many occasions. Mm-hmm. So this isn't awkward for me at all. Let's take a phone call. Chris is with us in Adams. Chris, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I wanted to talk about accessibility also in the fact that a lot of poor people rely upon their food share. And we live in a city where a governor has completely gutted that, but you are not allowed to buy any kind of hygiene stuff. I can't buy dish soap on my food share, much less toilet paper. And the other thing is that a lot of us also rely on food pantries. And because of the stigma involved, you sometimes will get some paper towels or some toilet paper at a food pantry, but they will not distribute menstrual products. And so for poor people, this is really an issue because you can't get it. You can go into a grocery store and buy a whole cart full of cookies and ice cream and potato chips, but you can't get dish soap or menstrual products. So that's my rant for the day. Thank you.
Thanks for that call, Chris. Jan Wilberg, this one seems right up your alley.
I am so glad that you raised that issue, Chris. That's really important to surface that that limitation on food share. And I knew about it, but I hadn't really thought about it that way. And the food pantry angle, I'd really not thought of. One of the issues is that tampons and pads are very rarely donated. That's why I started Time of the Month Club, because emergency shelters and people who work on the street with homeless people, I mean, there were just no donations and there was no money to go buy the product. So they would have to say no to people. So, I think it's really a critical policy issue that we need to look at in terms of food share.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Nancy, who's calling from Milwaukee. Nancy, go ahead.
Good morning to you. First of all, I would like to say that I do believe that this is a product that should certainly not be taxed in any way. But I can see a whole lot of other ramifications starting, and that would be that men would say, yes, but you don't have to wear a jock strap, therefore I should be able to have free jock straps. And then women would say, yes, but you don't have to wear makeup, and therefore I can't go to this job interview unless somebody supplies me with free makeup. And then men would say, yes, but you don't have to shave, and therefore I should have shaving products available free of charge. You know, this could be taken to untold places. Please give me some comments on that.
Nancy, thank you. Nancy thinks we're on a slippery slope here. Marina?
Well, I appreciate Nancy's concern. I feel that we're so far behind on this specific equity issue. The fact that we're one of the first governments in the state of Wisconsin to even have feminine hygiene products available. The other things that Nancy was speaking about will address everyone as they come about. But for so long, for many, many, many years, the hygiene products have been readily available to everyone, but feminine hygiene hasn't. So I'd like to get started. Let's get some equity going. And the other items that you suggest, I think it's an interesting time in our culture and society if we're talking about how we can help more and more people, and we can help more and more people to have access to the items that they might be seeking to succeed. So I'm willing to have that conversation, but I want to start with menstrual equity.
Nancy, thanks for that call. Let's go to Duluth next, and Wendy joins us there. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, this is fantastic. It never even occurred to me, and I thank you for the idea. I want to add a suggestion maybe for school use, and that is that all of us as mothers have had to go buy 4 boxes of Kleenex every fall for the list of things that are needed at in the classroom. Why not add a box of tampons or a box of pads onto that shopping list that get used for the schools as general use? And also, maybe Kimberly Clark or some of those other companies should, you know, give a little grant money towards this. Kudos to you, ladies. What a great thing.
Wendy, thanks for that call. Jan, do you want to start on this one?
Both of those are really terrific ideas. It's, you know, it's all about sort of changing our attitude and expanding our consciousness about what's needed. I think those are great ideas.
How can we have more honest and open conversations about this topic? Marina, we'll go to you first and then Jan.
Well, I want to thank you all for hosting this conversation and investing time in it. This is powerful and exceptional itself. They're the one-on-one conversations that are powerful. You know, Jan's work with the Time of the Month Club, we've been partnering at the county for years. Jan addressed the county board, and we have a bin for donations in our lobby. So when you walk in the county board door, you are seeing boxes of pads and tampons, and I think that starts the perception and discussion right away.
And Jan, I want to hear you on this as well.
Well, my experience is with the homeless population, and opening up that discussion there has been kind of challenging because people haven't really thought about it at all. But you just begin, and you show up, and you raise the issue, and you provide a resource. And gradually, people's understanding expands. And I think that's what you're doing this morning, is you're having this conversation. So it's, you know, one step at a time. Marina's resolution, I think, really put this issue on the table, and that it was supported unanimously by the Finance Committee really is a testament to those elected officials being open to dealing with this gender and menstrual equity issue. So it's, you know, you just begin and you open the door, and then I think it takes off from there.
And we're almost out of time. Jan, where can people go if they want to get involved with the Time of the Month Club?
Well, they can find us on Facebook at Time of the Month Club, and also we have website, timeofthemonthclub.org, and we welcome everyone to participate. We always need help. It is, after all, an ongoing need.
Jan, Marina, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this really important topic this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Jan Wilberg, founder of the Time of the Month Club, an organization that collects menstrual products for homeless people in Milwaukee, and she joined us from our Milwaukee studios. Marina Dmitrievich serves in the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors and recently proposed requiring menstrual products be freely available in two Milwaukee County building restrooms. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.